Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondori & Murad, will help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Big thanks to Kondori & Murad for sending us on the road. We're in Kansas City today from our Odyssey headquarters. We're going to be at Arrowhead Stadium tonight for the Commanders and the Chiefs. We are thrilled to be out and about, out of the studio, and watching Monday Night Football. Jaden Daniels-less Washington trying to pull off a huge upset.
And speaking of on air and on the road, Jake Gruden is driven by the Temperate Automotive Group. Temperate Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Temperate Lincoln and Chantilly and Temperate Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Temperate for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Temperate.com.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome onto the show our guy, the former head coach of the then Redskins, Jay Gruden. Jay, what's up? It's good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing in Kansas City? How's the weather out there? Is it nice?
It's like 55 degrees and overcast.
It looks gray and miserable.
Like it's going to rain, but we're told it's not going to.
All right.
But it's comfortable. We're going to be out and about. We're not sitting in the box tonight. We're going to be with the people. So we need it to be dry and not cold, and I think we're going to get those two things.
Just wear a poncho. You'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll get tough it out.
Thing.
It's fine. I do think as a coach, like, coaches always look so terribly uncomfortable in the rain, like rain games and stuff, because they don't wear, like, a poncho or anything. They're just in a hat and their jacket. What was your thought on coaching in the elements, the weather?
Not a fan. I would love to have been in the press box instead. I hated standing out there freezing my ass off, rain pouring down. The coldest game I ever coached, I was offensive coordinator for the Bengals, and we played at Pittsburgh last game of the year. It was like -2 degrees, freezing my ass off. I mean, it was brutal.
Did you think about going up and calling from the booth that day, or you're not? That just looks too.
It looks too soft, right?
Too like a baby.
I did pretend to go to the heater and talk to my center many, many times. Hey, I'm going to come over here and talk to you about the next set of downs here, man. But really, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit by this heater.
He's like, Coach, we haven't had this many conversations all season long. So I know you don't really have to pretend. You can just sit here. It's fine.
You couldn't disrespect the elements like that, but it was so cold.
Arrowhead Stadium. Is it as loud as everybody says?
Yeah, it is. It's a great stadium. Monday night will be rocking. They're playing a lot of confidence. I mean, those fans are crazy loud. But, you know, if you get on them early, you can silence the crowd. That's the best thing about playing on the road. When you hear silence, you know you're kicking their ass, and hopefully that's what happens tonight.
So how do you prepare a team for that kind of outdoor noise? Indoor noise, I know, you practice in the bubble and pipe in a bunch of stuff on loudspeakers. How do you do it for an outdoor environment? Is it similar?
Well, I think Cliff will have them dialed in. I think he'll do a lot of no huddle, and that helps a lot. You know what I mean? The hand signals, the nonverbal communication helps a lot. It's a snap count. You know, you're going to go on a silent count a lot of times. Sometimes that can get screwed up a little bit. But I think going no huddle, what Cliff likes to do anyway, I think that'll be a good pace, good tempo setter, and help with the crowd noise.
So tell us how that works. I mean, obviously Kansas City's watching the hand signals. How do you vary it enough in a silent count that they don't get a jump on the snap? Take us through the machinations. What's actually happening?
Well, you tell them the formation first. Hey, it's a trips right or whatever it is. And then you give them the protection and the play. And then you hand signal the receiver's routes. Or you can kind of do like a sugar huddle and just tell them. And then once you get to the line of scrimmage, the guard's looking at you, the quarterback. And then as you just give them your heel or you clap your hand, whatever it is, the guard knows you're ready for the snap. And The trick is when you want to add motion to it. That's when it becomes a little bit more tricky. The guard's got to really hold in there, let the motion happen, and then the quarterback has to communicate to the guard when he's ready for the ball, and guard taps the center, and then the center gives him a 1-2 look up, maybe one, maybe two, maybe a 3 look up to screw him up and then snap the ball.
So that's what I'm wondering, that last part. Is that determined to the center, or is it his choice?
Yeah.
And then how does everybody react off of that?
That'll be determined to the center, so the rest of the linemen know, because, you know, usually when it's on a regular silent count, hey, we're going on a silent count, it'll just be one look up and then look down and snap it. Then we might go on a silent two, so you'll look up once, twice, and then look back down and snap it. So you got to try to do that every now and then just to make sure these defensive ends aren't stupid. Chris Jones is not stupid. If he times up that head bob with a center, he'll be in the guard's lap before he even gets out of his stance. So you got to make sure you change that up if you're going silent.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. All right, write me the script here for tonight. You know, they're double-digit underdogs, whether, you know, depends on your book, where you're looking, 10.5, 11.5, 12.5, as many this week. They should be underdogs, right? But how do you approach that as a coach? Everybody's probably aware that nobody's giving you a chance to win this game. How do you tap into that, and what do you do?
Well, I think there's a lot of pride in that locker room. It starts with the leader, Bobby Wagner, and I think they had to have a good week of practice. I heard Coach Quinn went some more one-on-ones this week to try to get the physicality back. You know, I was in that same situation my last couple of years there where you're afraid to get people hurt. You don't have the physical practices you need to have sometimes. I was afraid to lose somebody in practice. But I think he went back to a more physical approach this week, and he's going to preach physicality with the offensive and defensive line, and that's where it's going to be won in the trenches. And then somehow, some way, get some turnovers, force Patrick into some bad throws. And that's going to be difficult with the lack of pass rush Washington has. But maybe sending Bobby Wagner through the A-gap or Luvu on the outside, something to disrupt Patrick's timing. So maybe he throws a couple picks.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. You know, the Commanders just not getting takeaways to that point. You know, 3 all season long, just 2 interceptions, both by Mikey Sanristil. They're a -5 in turnover differential, which coming into the week, only 2 teams were worse than. Jay, along those lines, though, defensively, you were kind of writing a plan. The answers we've gotten from Dan Quinn this week were, hey, what are you going to change? And he said something to the effect of, we're going to play better. When did you know when that wasn't enough anymore, that you actually had to bench someone or make a personnel shift or give somebody else a look? And are we there yet for this group if you're in charge?
I don't think so. I don't think there's really a lot of people you can bench people for. It's not like you have 4 or 5 Pro Bowlers stashed on the bottom half of your roster. I think you're pretty much stuck with the guys you have. You're looking at some of these defenses, Cincinnati and Dallas, some of these teams that are struggling. They just don't have the personnel right now. So, yeah, they got to play better, but the coach also has to do a few different things to try to light a fire. Maybe it's calling all-out blitzing, it's on 2nd and 10. I don't know, something to try to light a fire, try to create something to happen. But I think Washington still, despite the defensive end lack of pass rush there, I still think they have enough talent with Wagner and Luvu and Dron Payne and Kinlaw, Sanus Drill and Lattimore. There's still enough talent on there to be competitive in this football game.
One of the things that I've been around long enough as a fan, I'm not special in that regard, Jay. A lot of people have been watching football for a long time, but I've seen that press conference before, and I've seen those complaints before where it's too complicated. We got to make it more simple, and now we can do more stuff because these guys have been in the system for a long time. It's just things that people say. But Joe Witt talked about paring things down, making it simpler so they can play faster. It sounds like BS to me, to be honest with you. Just coach speak, and I it alarms me that a veteran team, the oldest team in football, needs things dumbed down for them. To me, the whole point of having veterans is they know how to do stuff. But I digress. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you dumb it down and make it more simple, you're going to make it more simple for Patrick Mahomes, and that's what you cannot do. If he sees cover 3, if you line up and play cover 3, and it looks like cover 3, and it is cover 3, he's going to know right where to go with the football. If you line up in Tampa 2 or 2 deep and safeties are high and deep, he's going to know what he wants to get to. You got to do some kind of thing to try to mask what you're doing to try to make him have, you know, second thoughts on what he's doing with the football. He pulls it down and looking for Kelce. Oh, he's doubled. Now I got to find the back out of the backfield. Oh, sack. You know, you got to do something. You can't dumb it down for Patrick Mahomes. If anything, you got to dial up some crazy stuff for Patrick because he will gut you.
Talking to the radio guys here in Kansas City at the station where we're broadcasting from today, they think this is the best skill group and collection of weapons that the Chiefs have put together offensively since Tyreek Hill walked out the door, with Worthy and Hollywood Brown, and now Rashee Rice back, and Smith-Schuster and Tyquan Thornton going down the field. They drafted Jalen Royals, who hadn't played a lot in the fourth round. They've got Pacheco and Hunt and this kid, Breshard Smith. What do you make of the skill group? And I guess I should throw in the tight ends with Kelce and Noah Gray as well.
Yeah, I think they're as good as anybody, and they have the best trigger man in the game and a great play caller, Andy Reid. So you got to deal with all the nuances that Andy's going to throw out there with all the crazy bubble screens or some kind of weird possum formation at the goal line, or they throw it to Chris Jones on a bubble screen, something crazy. But yeah, we used to surround a guy like Patrick Mahomes with Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and the guys at Pacheco in the running game. They're pretty damn good, you know. But you know, they did lose to Jacksonville. They had some warts shown on tape that you can get after them, and Patrick can maybe throw it into the crowd and get a tip ball or something like that. They're not perfect. So they just have to – Washington has to play their best game on defense. They got to hustle and fly to the football, get 2, 4, 6 hands on the ball every time they can and pursue like crazy and make some plays. And I think they're going to keep it close early, but I do think – you know, I think the cream will rise to the top third, late to third, early fourth. I think it'll start to be pulling away by Kansas City, but I expect Washington to play hard.
Jay Gruden with us live on Grant and Danny. We're in Kansas City. You're locked into 106.7 The Fan. Monday Night Football tonight, the kickoff for the Commanders is double-digit point underdogs at Arrowhead Stadium without Jaden Daniels. In the news of the day, they're also without their kicker, Matt Gay. They'll go with Matthew Wright, kicking field goals tonight, who they've signed and will elevate from the practice squad into the active roster all in one fell swoop hours before the game gets going. Jay, you mentioned the other side of the football here a couple of times with Washington in the offense. I mean, are you going heavy Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt and just pounding the football with Bill, or what's your game plan going in if you're calling plays?
That's tough because obviously you want to keep the offense of Kansas City on the bench as long as you can, but you don't want to be in 3rd and 8 or 9 with Chris Jones and the pass rushers they have at Kansas City. So you just have to have a good balance. And I think Mariota's played enough with Cliff where they have a good – feel for one another, what they like to do, and I still think being balanced is very necessary. We don't have to run the ball on first down every time, get them outside the pocket, maybe hit some down flats, and, you know, some low crosses, things of that nature, and then get Merritt going a little bit. But stay out of 3rd and long and do the best you can of possessing the football, and then take advantage of some shot plays when you can with Debo or with Terry McLaurin down the sideline.
Jay Gruden with us here. On G&D, I want to go back to Mahomes real quick. I just want from your view as a coach, you've been around some pretty damn good quarterbacks in your own right. What makes him, in your view, so special? I've tried to quantify it to, you know, a million ways from Sunday. He does something seemingly every week that I just can't believe and feel like I've never seen before. What do you think makes him so good?
It's the things you can't coach that he can do better than anybody that's probably ever played the game. It's the off-schedule plays that he makes. It's the poise that he plays with when things aren't pretty around him. It's a bad pocket. People are rushing him. He makes positive things happen when nothing's there. Andy Reid could call a play that could be gloved by Washington. I mean, covered everywhere. And he just buys time, and then somebody uncovers on a deep corner route 40 covered, and they still gain 40 yards. And that's Patrick Mahomes making those type of plays. Then plays are there to be had. You know, he can throw on time and on rhythm, and he's a very smart player with the running game, and doesn't run the ball into any slaughters, free safety blitzes. They don't run weak side zone and for a loss of 5. He knows he's a very smart player, gets them into the right play, and when the play isn't there, he can make something happen like nobody else in the world.
Jay, Andy Reid, while we're talking about what makes guys great, you said he's one of the better play callers. He's the one guy that isn't like all the other ones, right? When you think about Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell and Ben Johnson in this new era, most of the Kyle Shanahan, these guys are all, you know, in their young 40s or upper 30s or something. Andy Reid's the old dog, you know, who's learned all the new tricks. How has he adapted and been so good for so long? Because otherwise, it's kind of a young guy's club in terms of the great play callers in this sport right now.
Yeah, Andy Reid has had a system for many, many years. It's been proven to be effective. And then he's also had the ability to branch off and do some different things with the perimeter screens and the motions and all the crazy little window dressings that he uses a lot. But when it comes right down to it, his system is sound, it's proven, and Patrick's very comfortable with it. It's probably one of the least difficult systems to deal with from a defensive standpoint. It's just they executed a very high level. Now that they have Rashee Rice, you'll see him doing the shallow crosses and high crosses, and you got Kelce working the middle and option routes and all that stuff. He's just very good, very sound at what he does. Doesn't put the quarterback in a lot of harm's way. They're not going to wait for three level throws and drop back seven steps and hold the ball for 20 seconds. He has a great change up with quick game and bootlegs and all that stuff. So yeah, he's just got a great pulse on what needs to happen to attack defenses.
In terms of Washington's defense tonight, they haven't been doing very much well here of late, and as banged up as they are, you know, what advice would you give to them in terms of a game plan? To me, what the kind of the paradigm has been against Mahomes, Jay, has been you can't blitz him because he'll pick you apart, and they've got enough weapons now where you know you make yourself vulnerable with some of the things thrown into space or some of the one-on-ones. Do you do what everybody else has done and kind of back off and just make him impatient, just having to check it down, take stuff in front over and over and over and over and over again, or something else?
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards that early in the game. Play more coverage, rush four, and I know that's going to give them some time, but maybe, you know, with the coverage in place and everybody's sound and what they're doing, eyeballs on the quarterback, maybe we get a tip ball, maybe we get somebody breaking on the ball, something like that, and then in the red zone we'd be more aggressive with what we're doing. But, yeah, it's tough. It's a double-edged sword for them. You say, hey, let's be aggressive. But then, you know, he breaks contain and guys are running wide open everywhere, and it's, hell, don't do that. So I would err on the side of playing more coverage, change it up from spot drop zones to some carries and all that stuff, which I know that Washington can do.
All right, Jay, around the NFL quickly with you before we let you go here. We were sitting in a sports bar in KC watching all the games yesterday. There was a lot to like, but one thing that stood out was how good Denver looked against Dallas. When you look up and the Broncos, despite a slow start to the season from Bo Nix, are 6-2. They got one of the better defenses in the league. They shut that potent Cowboys offense down. They end up benching Dak at the end of the game because it was so out of reach. What do you think of 6-2 Denver in the AFC West? I mean, KC's still chasing them right now with four wins.
Yeah, Denver plays great defense, and that goes a long way. Hopefully Patrick Surtain's not out for a while with the shoulder. He went out in the second half, I think, with it. But they're sound at what they do defensively, and Bo's doing just enough. You know, the Cowboy defense was decimated. You talk about decimated defenses. Holy cow, I've never seen anything like it. So, yeah, I wouldn't put too much merit into that offensive performance, but I do think that Denver is going to be a team to be reckoned with because of their defense. And Bo Nix is getting better every week, and Sean Payton is another one of those good play callers, and he'll take some shots, and Bo's athletic enough to get out of trouble, and their defense is strong. So, yeah, they're going to be a – I still think Kansas City is the team in that conference that's going to win it, but in that division. But Denver's good.
Another 6-2 team to talk about here in Philadelphia. They had no trouble with the Giants yesterday. Got the benefit of a too early blown whistle on what should have been a clear turnover. Ended up being one of the turning points in the game, but Philadelphia ran away with it. They looked vulnerable for a little bit, but they seem inevitable to me.
Yeah, they're going to be the team to beat in the NFC. You know, Green Bay looked great against Pittsburgh, obviously, and Detroit's going to be there. I think L.A. Rams are going to be there with Stafford. There's Tampa Bay is going to be there the way they're playing defense. Baker's hot and cold, but if Baker gets hot, they could beat anybody at any time. I think those five teams, Seattle's going to be tough, those six teams right now. And then there's going to be a seventh team, whether it's San Francisco or hopefully Washington. When Jaden gets back, they can make a run late in the year. They can come up there in a wild card and create some havoc. But, yeah, I like Philadelphia a lot. They play – they sometimes sleepwalk through games. They're like their sense of urgency, but they're going to be in it because they're so good up front on defense. And their offensive line is playing better, and they got Saquon, they got Devontae, they get AJ back. They're just good, and they're battle tested.
Are the Patriots and Drake May this legit, or are they benefiting from a really weak schedule?
Both probably. Their schedule has been pretty weak. They did beat Buffalo. I think they lost to the Raiders week one, which is a shocker, but. And they don't really have a tough schedule moving forward. They play Buffalo again, but Drake May is playing outstanding. He's in the conversation for MVP, if you can believe that. But I think Patrick will have a lot to say with that when it's all said and done. But, yeah, their defense is good. They got seven new starters, I think, from free agency. And Vrabel's always been a good defensive coach. And I think Drake May, if he continues on pace with Josh McDaniels calling plays, they'll be a threat to win that division.
Jay, you mentioned Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is such a veteran. He's been around for decades. He's, you know, almost my age in his early 40s, so, you know, probably not a guy that's going to get rattled by sort of a revenge game. But when you were coaching, free agency is so commonplace. How did you handle that week for a guy that was going against his former team and, you know, some of the risks therein to try to make it about that instead of, you know, about doing what's best for the team? What sort of advice did you give, and how would you handle that for guys?
For who, Aaron?
Just in general, when you had players playing against their former teams.
Oh, you know, try to make him captain, make him feel good, try to get their juices flowing a little bit, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's all about X's and O's on game day. You got to get them mentally, physically ready to play. And hopefully the emotions don't take over what they're trying to do. They don't try to play outside themselves. They still play within themselves, within the game plan, and do the right thing that's best for the football team. But, you know, it's an emotional game, and some people really have a strong desire to beat the team that let them go or they got traded from, which is natural. I think we all would feel the same way. But at the end of the day, it's still about that pigskin being kicked off at 1 o'clock or 8 o'clock and doing what you can to help your team win.
Jay, you alluded to how you see this game playing out, but before we let you go, let's get your final prediction. Commanders, Arrowhead Stadium tonight against the Chiefs. What do you like?
Well, I mean, you got to take Kansas City if you have a brain in your head right now. The way the Washington defense is struggling, now you're going against the high-powered Kansas City offense with the best quarterback in the National Football League. That in itself would say take Kansas City. Then you throw in the fact that Washington doesn't have their best player, and that's Jaden Daniels. So that's two major strengths going against Washington. Now they're going to play hard. Coach Quinn's going to get them going. I expect them to keep them close early, but I think when it's all said and done and dust settles, I think it'll be a pretty easy win for Kansas City.
Jay, appreciate you as always, man. Talk next week.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, be good, brother. This is Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What has to change for the Commanders' defense tonight? We'll be back live from Kansas City to answer that question next on The Fan.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax Ref 150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln in Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling. All home to Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now he's finding the right lane for Taylor Swift. All of our football conversation today on The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Look, there's no putting a bandage on how bad this defense has been. And there's no masking the fact that it could probably end up being the undoing of the season. It doesn't look like there's a fix over a long period, week after week this year. But there's going to be some positive games. There's going to be some weeks where defensively Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, who are good defensive coaches, can cook something up. And there better be. You can't have a defensive-minded head coach and a defensive-minded operation and be one of the worst defenses in the league week in and week out. But right now, this Washington defense ranks 26th as they get ready to play a really good Chiefs offense. They are dead last against the pass, 7.76 yards per attempt as Patrick Mahomes prepares to slice and dice them. They're bottom five at getting interceptions. In fact, the one thing that they have done well this year is rush the quarterback in terms of the numbers. I happen to think that's a little bit skewed by get fat performances against the Raiders early in the season and against the Giants way back in week one. And that's still almost a quarter of the games that you played, so that's a big sample of the eight games when you're done with this one. And that's why it still says they're top 10 at pressures, top 10 in sacks. They haven't been that consistent. But at least it's an area where they've had enough good games, good performances, good deposits, where they rank okay. But now you're taking on the number 5 offense, the number six passing offense in the NFL tonight, and the question becomes, will we see the improvement Dan Quinn promised? You know, will we see? He said the changes that are going to happen are how we play and how we operate. You're going to see better performance. Do you think we see that tonight?
No. And I think you can, you know, you speak the words and you know, who knows what they're saying internally. But to me, the numbers even belie how good Kansas City is. They're talking about for Washington get fat games. Well, Kansas City had get thin games. Early in the season, they couldn't throw the ball at all. No Rashee Rice, no Xavier Worthy, you know, no chance. An offensive line a bit in flux. Their leading rusher until very recently was Patrick Mahomes on scrambles, on, you know, not design stuff, but something that almost looked designed.
Well, to that point, their running backs are the least scary running backs in the history of the NFL.
Agreed.
Isaiah Pacheco is this violent, angry, like running a million miles
Tasmanian
an hour
devil.
While running 3 miles an hour looking running back you've ever seen in your life. But there's nothing scary about him. Like, he's not going to rip them off. He's not going to hit extra base hits. And whatever he is, Kareem Hunt's worse than that. He's retired three times, and so had a football
plotting.
Twice, and he's big. And
but he's their passing down back for some reason?
But yeah. The guy with the juice is this kid now that they have, this late-round pick.
Rashard Smith.
And I think Smith is actually the one of the group that if I was drawing up a plan against Washington, I would say, how do I get him in space on a linebacker?
Yeah, they're excited about him here locally. And you're getting just the taste, you know, like the little appetizer here and there, or the occasional past entree of Rashard Smith. I expect him to be more of a focal point as time goes.
I think the reason they're excited about him, Danny, is because the other guys are so unexciting.
I think that's a perfect summary, by the way. That's exactly what's happening. So, no, I don't expect better. I mean, again, unless there's substantive change, which is we're not going to keep doing the same thing that got us into this trouble. We're going to do slightly less of it, which means less complicated signals, or maybe that improves communication. But you're hampered by the fact that you're going to keep trotting Marshawn Lattimore out there, just sort of hope for better play from Mikey Sanders-Still, who was really good last year in a slightly different role. It hasn't gone according to plan. I just don't see it. You're worse personnel-wise. You've decided to dumb things down going against a computer super genius that's created in a lab in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, who have seen everything twice that you may or may not pretend to try to do, with their full complement of weapons for a passing game that is ascending. They're excellent. You're not. I don't see. This is not the get right wing. This is not the time to hold your team meeting.
I agree with that. They're not going to put up a great statistical game, but it could still look a lot better. The Chiefs could have numbers when this thing's over, and you could have tackled really well. You could have played with better seeming effort. You could have done a much better job up front. Like in that Dallas game, other than Daron Payne on the interior, guys weren't that noticeable. It was the first time all season where Javon Kinlaw, as physically imposing and dominant at times as he's been, and as angry as he plays, and as the word I use honestly with him is just noticeable,
yep.
But it's disruptive. As disruptive as he's been all year, that was gone in the Dallas game. I think he could have a game a lot more like he did earlier this season. But to me, that's what you need. Like if Jacob Martin is getting some pressures and pushing the pocket, and Mahomes is having to scramble and go pick up 6 and 7 instead of just standing flat-footed and waiting for someone to get open down the field, that, to me, is what I'm looking for. So I actually think both can be true. Dan Quinn wasn't just saying, we're going to rank number 5 in every performance the rest of the year. I think when he watched the tape of last week, he didn't recognize that group.
Mm.
He wasn't okay. I'm not questioning effort and, like, want to. I'm talking about the effort as a performance. He was not okay with the performance. He was not okay with the energy. He was not okay with the tackling. There were so many controllables. Forget scheme stuff, which is also problematic. There were too many controllables that they stunk at in a huge game they had to have before the gauntlet in the division, and I think he viewed it correctly, as the rest of us did, as pretty unacceptable. So when he was asked about it in his press conference, I think what Dan Quinn meant when he said, we're going to play better, is not like, you know, we're going to rate better against the run in the pass. Yeah, you might still give up a lot of yards, but you're going to notice us more. There will be more good plays. My old corollary to young quarterbacks, there's going to be bad. I expect bad.
Mm-hmm.
I better see some good. That's kind of how I'm viewing the defense tonight. You're playing Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, and a top 10 offense in the league that's been humming for 2 weeks, scoring 30-plus. I need good. I need pass-rushing moments. I need a takeaway or two. I need good tackling in the open field. There's no reason, even if the balance sheet is in the negative, that there can't be some deposits as well.
I smell what you're cooking there, and I think that's the positive way to look at it.
By the way, how about you don't run into each other on a 74-yard touchdown that's a one-play touchdown drive tonight?
That would be nice.
That would be a good start.
Let's start there.
How about you not get 3 pass interference penalties in the first half?
That'd be nice.
How about you not allow a touchdown where 80 net yards are gained over the course of 4 plays and 27 seconds before the half?
I mean, these are all very nice things, and I
hope
they happen.
These are the goals that I have for tonight.
Those, by the way, not that high of a bar. That's a very low bar.
Let's clear the damn thing.
Yeah, let's clear that hurdle one time. I mean, one of the things that drives me nuts now that the basketball people will do, they'll sort of shrug their shoulders and go, it's a make or miss league, as if to say, like, there's nothing else involved. Sometimes the shots go in, sometimes they don't. I bet you could have drawn up some better looks. I bet you the end of shot clock, the play didn't work. One guy dribbling 51 times and then shooting a fadeaway three with a hand in his face is not as good a shot as a backdoor layup. You know what I mean? Like, shots aren't all created equal. But it's just lip service. They kind of shrug their shoulders and go, it's make or miss. To me, that's what Dan Quinn's lip service was. I took it a far more cynical thing where I looked at it as somebody that said, I am simply not going to give you the red meat that you want. I'm not running a single player under the bus because that doesn't help me. It doesn't help me keep the room. It doesn't help me do anything other than look like I'm panicked. I'm going to show the steady hand. We're going to talk about the standard. I've got 17 slogans for every occasion. Let me just dip into my bag of slogans and I'll give you a slogan that fits this slogan. 3 degrees off. All we need to find is our true north. Return to play metrics. And like, he'll just, you know, keep going with these things just to make sure that everybody knows. To a point, and I give him credit for that, by the way, that he's steadfast, that he is not panicking here. What I want is for him to stand up and go, it's not acceptable. I'm going to do my damnedest. We're going to dig deep down, and we will make some changes. Instead of, what we decided to do is to play better.
Well, he's not going to have a choice if they don't play better tonight.
And I guess that's my point, is this is maybe your last opportunity to kind of go to that well, which is the, what we've decided to do is the play better strategy. We haven't appointed it yet. This is our new thing. We will play better, and that will solve it.
I also wonder if that's gospel or if that's just what he was willing to say. Because remember,
and that's my view, is that it's all he was willing to say.
Joe Witt, when he did his press conference on Thursday, was asked about the performance at the end of his presser, and he said they are making a few tweaks to personnel, and he said you guys will start to see those. Well, that's the opposite of just, parring the chorus and essentially the change is playing better. No, he's making it sound like, and he was talking about the linebacking room and Jordan McGee specifically, I think the change is going to be more McGee, which you wonder, well, does that mean somebody sits? No, it means to me that Frankie Louvu helps replace Dorrance Armstrong. Frankie Louvu is at his best how? Rushing the quarterback off the edge. Play him there. Jordan McGee is at his best how? Right now, with this group, I would say running and hitting and helping in space. Play him there. That's what good coaching is. Get your guys, figure out what all of them do well, and find a way to put them in those positions as often as possible. That means not ever having Bobby Wagner in space, essentially. You can't avoid that all the time. You just can't.
Try to avoid it more often than you do.
You can't. By the way, when I was doing my low bar thing, where I was talking about the things that are on my checklist for tonight, I got someone here in the comments on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, Chris Jones, actually, who plays for the Chiefs. So, Chris, thank you for listening to the show and for not preparing for the Commanders. Please don't sack the quarterback tonight. That would be helpful. But he says no running back check down throws that go for 40.
Too much to ask, Chris. Nope.
That's a good one. Add that to the low bar list on defense. I'm not even going to say 40, though. I'm going to say 25. Do not allow any dump off, check down, get out of jail free. I know it's going to happen.
I can already see the play.
It's going to happen on a second and long, by the way. It's going to be a second and 17. They're going to get a holding penalty on first and 10. They're going to get a 3-yard run on first and 20 out of the gun. And on second and 17, they're going to throw the ball in space to Kareem Hunt or somebody who shouldn't ever, 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 ever be able to rip this off. And he'll make somebody miss, and they'll have a well-designed screen, and it's going to go for 29 yards.
So I can see the play. Washington actually gets pressure. But Mahomes does that sort of shuffle escape thing where he holds the ball so callously, like, out away from him, and he's just sort of shuffling away real fast, like someone whose legs don't work quite right.
He is that is the only way to describe him running, by the way, is shuffling.
It's a shuffle.
He is the best shuffler.
Every damn shuffling. That's him. And the running back was in there blocking, but now he's not. He'll shake free. I'll flip it to him, kind of underhand behind my back, and then he'll just go for 26. And no one will be around. And people will be mystified as that would happen. Because it'll be Kareem Hunt, by the way, and it'll take 19 seconds because he's the slowest person alive. He'll have been in there blocking, and the guy that he was blocking then is still running after Mahomes. And he's like, well, I can just be open now, and there'll be no one to account for him. And he'll just jog briskly into the secondary.
This original barbecue sauce from Joe's right here smells amazing.
Yeah.
Did you eat some of it?
I had some.
Somebody opened it.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It's very good.
I want to take it home with me.
I think you go for it.
I don't think I can get it through the machine because it's a lot of ounces.
You got to check that bad boy.
Dad, are you checking a bag still?
He is. Yep.
What is in the bag that you check? Just a Comrex or?
No, my check bag is my actual clothes and everything. So yeah, I think you put it in my bag.
How do you feel about all your underwear getting some Joe's original barbecue sauce?
Your underwear is going to smell a lot nicer.
All over them.
I don't think I'd mind that at
all,
honestly.
What if this thing breaks and it's just all over your clothes?
That'd be hilarious.
You got barbecue undies now?
somewhat maddening, but also hilarious.
Would
it
make
for a great story.
It actually feels more plasticky than glass, so I feel all right about it.
Oh, that's good then.
I think I'm going to take it home in your bag.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah. And if you want a little bit of it, we can work that out.
Yeah, if you forget it, I will use it. So, you know, there is that.
Well, the good news for me is I'm not Danny, so when we get back late on Tuesday night, I'm going to be saying bye and then I'll remember it, whereas Danny will already be in his car and halfway home. I mean, what is the chance that we see you while Darius is getting his bag at baggage claim?
It's not good.
Tuesday night.
Well, that's where the ground transportation is, but I'll be in line. It's time to go home. It'll be out at almost midnight. When we're getting home on a Tuesday?
What's the percentage chance that we get a goodbye at the end of our fellowship for the last few days?
Decent, if you're within earshot. It's time to go. I mean, the baby's going to wake up in a matter of minutes by the time I get home.
In a world where you get off the plane a couple minutes before we do, and if you have to wait, I'm gonna say over 60 seconds to say goodbye.
Love you, boys.
What's the percentage chance?
Zero. I got to wait for you?
60 seconds.
It's a great movie. Gone in 60 seconds. No. Gone.
Either. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight. It's a Monday Night Football game night. After us will be Burgundy and Gold pregame right here on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, business is picking up on the Taylor Swift front from Toby Altizer. This will be my daughter's favorite show we've ever done. All Taylor Swift all day on Grant and Danny.
She'll be thrilled.
She's going to listen to more of the show than I think she has at any point.
You have to do all Tay-Tay rejoins to get your, what is she six now, seven?
Six.
Six,
You just wanted to say that.
I did so badly.
We've been 6-7 in each other this whole trip. I don't know when we jumped the shark because we were out on it. And we said we weren't going to play the game.
Well, we know how annoying it is.
And now we're all in on the
and
game.
And I know people are annoyed at me for doing it. What's up to the chat? But yes, here's what happened. I got so sick of it, and it's not going anywhere. My children don't – it's not even about the number 6 and 7 anymore. If there's a 6 involved in any of the numbers that come up, there's a 7. I get it. And they do. They're more concerned about doing it than like winning their sporting event, than like playing in the game or practicing hard or like trying or going to school or Roblox. They care so much. They care more about doing that. And I hear it all the time. So I'm inflicting it on them.
Well, it's just become fun at the Airbnb with the Kondori and Murad guys. As we were hanging out watching ball last night, ordered in to the house and just kicked it here in Kansas City as a group. But everyone, every time someone said, and you were... You would be shocked.
Shocked.
How often?
You won't believe how much you say.
You can 6-7
playing
somebody.
Pickleball, like it's a pretty reasonable score. 6-7-1, you know, like means the first person serving. And I did it to Ted today probably 25 times.
Grant and Danny on 106 have the Fan. We will be with you until 6:30 this evening, taking you up to Burgundy Eagle pregame and then eventually kickoff. Monday Night Football is a little over 2 hours away from right now, under 2.5 hours. From getting started, I wanted to look real quick at the division in the conference after yesterday because Washington got a lot of help, oddly, It has not been that kind of year where you just sit back and put your feet up and good things happen, but they did yesterday. Both Dallas and the Giants lost in the East. Now, the bad news is the Eagles win again. They're 6-2. And at 6-2, Philadelphia, if the Commanders were to lose tonight, would have a three-game edge on the Commanders. Still two head-to-head games between the two in the division, but that's a sizable cushion. You and I both think the path is better for them in the division than in the wild card. But if you just look at yesterday's results, Danny, here are your losers who are ahead of Washington directly in the NFC standings. You ready? I'm going to go in order from the 7-seed San Francisco down to Washington at 13, okay? Here's the results from yesterday. San Francisco, the 7-seed, lost. Chicago, the 8-seed, lost. Carolina, the 9-seed, lost. Dallas, the 10-seed, lost. Atlanta, the 11-seed, lost. Minnesota, the 12-seed, lost. And then the Commanders. Every team in front of them in the wild card hunt lost, almost all of them, to an AFC team this past weekend. The Commanders, at least in the wild card conversation, and two out of three times in the division, the only time not where it was head-to-head, got everything that could have happened their way, did yesterday, almost
Incredible.
To a T.
Incredible.
Amazing. So if you could beat the Chiefs, the value of this weekend of Week 8 and of this win, astronomical.
Because obviously you got to take care of business no matter what. Duh, it's you can't control what other people do, blah, blah, blah. But you can't hope for better, as you said, better help at any point in time. Like, what has to happen is something miraculous. That's actually mildly miraculous, that every AFC team beat every NFC team over the course of the weekend. Now, it doesn't go as far as you handling your business within your own conference or your own division, which they did not do and have not done to this point this year. But still, it's a thing.
You can listen to us all over the DMV on 106.7 The Fan and on the Odyssey app as well. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel if you are into the high-definition views of your boys. We're even on the road today using our laptop cameras to provide the stream. Clary was very, very animated in the chat right before the show to make sure that we were ready to go by showtime on our cameras.
He was yelling at us. He was, I mean, down the line screaming like a tyrant. I haven't heard him like that in some time.
We're taking you up to 6:30 before we head over to Arrowhead Stadium. We'll give you our final predictions and the players we're locking in on next on Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pause.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.